Okay.
Once it starts.
Press
it.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to start our next series, and I'd like to continue some of the issues on Shabbos that pertain to the kitchen, or what the Gemara calls the Masechah Shabbos Sidur Depas, which is a lot of the common shilas in the kitchen. And this malacha really extends outside of the kitchen, but has a lot of halacha lemaisa applications. And the title was "The Pressure Is On," and as Joe had a good line on Matzah Shabbos when he said, "Don't feel any pressure to come." So that was so that was the that's the malacha. The malacha is the malacha of dash, and we're going to talk about a tolda, a subcategory within the malacha of dash. Dash, the av, the original primary category that was in the Mishkan, was threshing, was separating the grain from the sheaves, and we don't really have these issues b'zman hazeh, but we have many shilas and subcategories, and mainly the shila of schita. So I'm going to talk primarily within the malacha of schita. But before we mention schita, dash, basing off the that primary category and that av, is basically extracting from anything from its natural habitat, natural shelling, natural existence. So if I'm going to extract anything, whether it's juices, or even, the truth is people don't realize, even the poskim discuss, you know, taking certain fruits out of their peels. You know, you have to know why, whether or not it's dush or whether or not it's not dush. Most of our fruits, the Rama writes, is not going to be a situation of dush. Why that is for really another time, either because the peel is considered one entity, and it's not really considered extracting out of it. Obviously, you have to be concerned of a malacha of borer, and it has to be done right before you're going to eat it, whenever you're peeling these things. But schita, which doesn't have a heter of miyad and immediacy, that is not an issue when it comes to peels. But if you have certain outer coverings and coatings that are not necessarily connected onto the fruit, let's say peas out of a pod, you know, right? So they're not necessarily on top and connected one to the other. It wouldn't necessarily be so simple. The post can discuss why it's mutter to crack open a peanut on Shabbos. What's the heter of cracking open a peanut? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva that we assume that anything that's usually cracked open at the time of the eating, it's derech achila, that's not similar to the melacha of dash, which they did in the fields, which was part of the original preparation in the fields of the disha process. So that's why many poskim, there were poskim that didn't allow to eat peanuts, and there's discussions of, I don't know, what would you decide today in peanuts? Are most peanuts left in their shell, or are most peanuts now in a can of planters that it's not? I remember once seeing years ago, Rav Vosner has a tshuva about that. I don't know, how do you decide what's the situation in most peanuts? So you see that this malacha has a lot of practical implication, but primarily I'd like to discuss tonight something that really affects a lot of situations of dash, which is schita, and schita specifically when it comes to peiros, extracting juices from fruits, whether we're making salads, whether or not, you know, we're serving it to our children. What should we be concerned about? What should we not be concerned about? So the Gemara tells us that there are three major categories when it comes to schitas peiros. And we have to introduce these three categories and understand why they're different. And then ultimately we're going to have some practical implications based on understanding the difference between these categories. So the Gemara says that originally there is some form of schita, extracting juices from certain fruits, that is the most severe, which is zeisim v'anovim. It's olives and grapes. And then, as opposed to that, you have another category which is called tusim v'rimonim, strawberries and pomegranates. But it's really not just tusim v'rimonim, it's really just shar peiros, all the other fruits. So the question is, what is significant about about zeisim v'anovim, about olives and grapes that make it a much more severe category, that category would be considered deoraisa. So what do you think? What are the options?
Wait, that's two or that's three?
That's two categories. I didn't say the third categories. Yeah, good. Excellent. That was a little test. Good. Now, so the third category is fruits that are never juiced. Meaning, tusim rimonim, you'll have sometimes people juice them, and then there's shar pears that are just never juiced. They're never juiced. So those three categories are halacha. The first category is deoraisa, is biblical, to juice them and to extract any liquid from those from zeisim anavim. Second category, tusim rimonim, or what I said before, other fruits, which means they're sometimes used and their juices are drunk and extracted, and that's midrabanan. And then shar pears, which is the Gemara says is mutter. Those fruits are totally abnormal to juice those fruits, and therefore it's heter gomer. It's not even an issur derabanan. So let's say lemaisa. We're gonna have to get to lemaisa because a lot. We're going to get to it in these days. These days, anything that the Shulchan Aruch, we'll get to this in a second. But let's say, I don't know, you'll correct me on this, and this as I'm learning also. I've never seen a honeydew. You know, I don't know, is that accurate? I've never seen honeydew, you know. No, right, so that's not juice. That's a smoothie is just, that's crushing it, right. So I think that a honeydew would be in there. I used to think watermelon, but I don't think that's true anymore. Tomato for sure is out. Tomato was out for a long time already. And we'll have to get to in a second what is tomato. So this is part of what I want to get to with the question I just asked. What is unique about olives and grapes? Yeah. Okay. So it's first of all, and it gets a higher bracha in certain areas that the Gemara says that you don't just view it like the Gemara says. Anytime you extract a liquid from a fruit, so that zeya ba'alma, the Gemara in bracha says you just say shahakol niya bedvar on that. And you don't find that when it comes to hagafen. You say that bar pri hagafen, right? And you would. So the Gemara already, you know, points out that you see there's more of a chashivas when it comes to these with these mashkim. So that al derech that approach. The Ran writes that you also find that it's part of one of the Zion mine mashkim. The Torah has seven types of liquids that have significance in the world of Tumah V'Tahara and in terms of being preparatory and allowing entities to become mekabel tuma. So this is one of the mashkims in those areas. So zayis and hagafen would be one of those. So that shows a svara in significance. I would call this svara. It's chashiv. You see in other areas of halacha it has this chashivas, so therefore it would have a chashivas in this area as well. But when you look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't say exactly what the Ran says. Rashi says it's normal. It's normal for people to squeeze olives to get oil. And it's normal for people to squeeze grapes to get wine and to get grape juice. So that's the derech. So memela, that's why these are, because it's darko bekach, because it's so normal. So Rashi says that would be deoraisa. So that led some poskim in the Chayadam that thought, you know, if you're a little bit al derech what you were saying, but now you have a real ramifications la halacha. Says the Chayadam, whoa, so bizman hazeh, and this the Chayadam didn't live in our door. This was already, Chayadim started saying, one second, what's going to happen with oranges and apples that people are, we see that people are starting to squeeze them, and it becomes the derech even when it comes to shar pears. So if you take this Rashi, literally, it could be that one could argue, and there were some poskim that held this chumrah, that even shar pears would be a malacha deoraisa bizman hazeh, depending on the pri. Once it becomes the derech to squeeze these fruits, once you're working within Rashi's formulation, so that would be potentially another addition to the list of the biblical categories of schitas peiros. According to the Ran, that's not true. Meaning it's defined. It's specifically these two and nothing else. And that wouldn't even be on the table. The poskim still seem to be makel on this shaila. Most of the poskim, and I think you could be makel on this shaila, that it would be a malacha de rabbanan when it comes to all other fruits, even if it becomes darko bekach, even if it becomes. It's fascinating that you have such a similar discussion when it comes to Hilchos Brachos. As I said before, the Gemara says that certain fruits, right, an orange juice or apple juice, so you squeeze them. So the Gemara says that that's Zeya Ba'alma. That's just an extraction, and that becomes a Shahakal Ni'ebidvara. So the Chazanish raised the possibility, according to, he suggested this in the opinion of the Shita, the Rashba, that had a similar Svara, that once it becomes Darko Bekach, and that's the normal way, so then we're not going to consider that Zeya Ba'alma, it's going to be a Shahakal, so said the Chazanish, and I think there are some people today that follow the practice of the Chazanish and actually do this, that don't anymore make a shahakol ni'ebidvaro on orange juice. And once it becomes that, actually most of the oranges that are harvested are probably more for orange juice than for eating oranges, so, and you hold that the svara of whether or not it's zeya and it goes down in the Hilchos Brachos is based on the derech, so therefore the Chazanish held you should make a bor priates, and that was also has nafkaminas on whether or not you're allowed to, what you're allowed to do with it in the time of Shemitah. But that's a little bit off topic. But you see that this idea and this concept exists in other areas of halacha as well. Fine. So that's in terms of the first category. Zeisim anovim, that's the way we're going to paskin, and we're going to assume. And everything else, it's a possibility, it could be deraisa, but we're going to assume everything else is in the second category of shar peiros. So shar peiros, they are sometimes juice, so therefore the Gemara says that's not going to have that significant level, that severity of being a biblical prohibition, but it's still going to be aser midrabanan. So I'm still, again, it doesn't really make a difference right now. We're going to learn different practical implications to being deraisa derabanan. But right now, for me to squeeze a grapefruit, or for me to squeeze an orange, or for me to squeeze an olive, it's one's an issa deraisa, one's an issa derabanan. In terms of other shailas, in terms of when we have to discuss with a rav when to be mako, so it's important to note that one is going to be deraisa and one is going to be derabanan. And the third category is if you can find such a category of something that's never squeezed, that's abnormal to be squeezed, so then there schitas peiros would actually be mutter. And there was something that was never usher in the first place. Now, as we said before, in the times of the poskim and the Ramah, the Magen Avraham, there was a whole discussion. So what happens if, you know, you have in Yehupitzville, you know, a certain area in Hutzal, or the Gemara talks about in certain towns, that they do extract fruits, and they do squeeze certain fruits. So there's now, is that going to now make it that it's going to be prohibited for other areas as well, if that's only the minig in that town? Again, in our day, with our imports to for every single area, those shilas are also moot. Because you can get, it's the same reason I say to everyone, you know, you really, the whole idea of saying a shachiyano on a fruit today is also, it's not really, you're not really supposed to say a shachiyano on a fruit, because you can get any fruit at any time of the year, and there's no special seasons in terms of fruits. These are fruits that are all around. I hate to kill the business for all the people on Erev Rosh Hashanah, but that's the situation. It's nice. We say a shachiyano anyways because we're chayav to say a shachiyano, but it's not because of the fruit, and that's just the nature of our importing and what's available on our markets. So all of these juices are things that are going to be available in all areas. So we're not going to make a distinction in terms of different areas. Okay. So now that we distinguish between different categories, so now why, other than the severity of it and how machmir we have to be, which we're probably going to be machmir for an issa derabanan anyways, so why do we have to really focus on the fact that one's going to be raisa and one's going to be derabanan? So that's important, and everyone should hold on to that. This is going to now navigate us through the rest of the shilas within schitas peiros, of knowing the different categories that we mentioned, and I'll just say them again quickly. We said zeisim and anovim, olives and grapes. the juice to squeeze those, that would be a melacha d'oraisa. We assume la halacha that other fruits that are sometimes squeezed would be an issue d'rabbanan, and a fruit that is never squeezed would be mutter. So now, why is that relevant? So there is an important Gemara that the Gemara says something famous. I just want to just remind it to say one thing over here. It's an important misconception, and people don't realize this. Everything we're talking about right now is not only relevant for Hilchos Shabbos. It's relevant for Hilchos Yontif. And this is a big misconception. Whether or not you want to accept it, whether or not it's logical to you, whether it's not, you open up a Maseches Beitza, you start learning Hilchos Yontif. The Gemara says, Beitza shalnoldo biyontif, which is the beginning of Maseches Beitza. The first suggestion of the Gemara on Daf Gimel and Aleph, right at the beginning of the Masechta, is why is it Aser? Because it's like Mashkin Shezavu. What is Mashkin Shezavu? The Gemara says, if liquid seeps out on its own, that's going to be a problem on Yontif and on Shabbos. I'll explain to you what that means in a second. But what that means is that, and that's going to be a derivative of Schita, is that means fundamentally, even though on Yontif you have a heter of Ochel Nefesh, and you are allowed to cook on Yontif for Ochel Nefesh, you are not allowed to squeeze fruits on Yontif unless you have the heterim that are going to apply to Shabbos. So everything that I'm saying pretty much applies both equally to Shabbos and Yontif, and that's it's a big mistake. And I understand it, because it makes sense that this should be something that's classical Ochel Nefesh. Why it's not? So there are different Mefarshim that give different explanations. Again, similar to what I said at the beginning, that Dash is more of a Malacha that's done in the fields and is associated with doing it for a long time, not just right before the meal, not just for a temporary, just a little juice. So even though in your situation you're doing it to just extract a little bit of juice, it's in the broader category of something that's done liyamim rabim, to done for many days, so therefore that's going to be something that's going to be prohibited on Yontif as well. So now, let's get back to what the Gemara says in the implication of the Gemara that Schita is going to be Asar on Yontif. The Gemara introduces this concept called Mashkin Shezavu, what's translated to be liquid extraction that seeped out. So if that's the case, so we not only have to be concerned when it comes to, someone's here, when it comes to Shabbos with the actual transgression of squeezing, we also have to be concerned with liquid that seeps out from those fruits on their own. You could have grapes that are sitting in a bowl, and liquid, and this happens, and liquid seeps out of those grapes. That is usur for you to drink. It's mashkin shezavu. Not only is it usur for you to drink, that liquid is mukta. So it's very serious. So the Gemara says, when it comes to mashkin shezavu, and this is why it's so important, no one was there? When it comes to mashkin shezavu, the Gemara says, Mashkin Shezavu, they made an Isser because we're worried that you're going to come and to squeeze it if we allow you to have its liquid. Okay? So when would they make such a Gzeira? They would only make such a Gzeira and a decree on something that potentially could be a Malacha De'oraisa. But if in the first place that whole issue would only be Drabanan, so Chazal do not have the ability to make a Gzeira L'Gzeira. They don't have the ability to make a Gzeira to another Issa Drabanan. They are given the authority to protect the laws of the Torah, Mishmeres L'Mishmarti, but they can't protect their own decrees. So therefore the Gemara says as follows. Now we have to know, and we have to make sure that we know the difference between the categories, Zesim and Anavim. If Mashka seeps out, there is going to be an Isser of oil and grapes when it comes to the category that's the Oraisa. But Mashkim Shezavu that came out when it comes to Shar Perus potentially could be Mutter. Before I break and I take your questions, give me the following second. If the fruits that are Shar Perus, again, Zesim and Anavim, which is the Oraisa, no matter what the situation is, fruits, Mashkin Shezavu that seeped out, are going to be usur. You can't use that on Shabbos and Yontif, and it might even be mukta in certain situations when it seeps out. However, when it comes to Shar Peros, that's not true. Unless the Shar Peros, those fruits that are sometimes squeezed, were brought in for the purpose of drink. The Gemara makes a distinction. Why were those Peros brought into your house? Were they brought la'achila, or were they brought l'shtia? If they were brought in the first place to your house in order to make drinks, and in order to be squeezed, so then that Isser of Mashkan Shezavu does apply when it comes to Shar Peros as well. But most of the time, when you have drinks in a fruit salad that seeps out, let's say you have apples in there and you have cherries in there and you have strawberries in there, and then at the bottom you have some drink at the bottom, so that would be absolutely permitted because that is mashkin shezavu of fruits that were brought in kidei lechol that people should eat, and therefore you would not have that iser b'dieved of mashkin shezavu in that category. Oh, beautiful. So what happens if there are grapes in the fruit salad? So we're jumping a little ahead of ourselves, but technically, if the grapes were just grapes, so that would be an absolute prohibition. That would be a serious problem. But it's not exactly a tarovis. We're going to get to it. Remind me when I speak about mashka bala ocho ka ocho dami, to get back to your grapes, there might be a heter even if the grapes go in, even if it's not a taruvas, even if it's not batel, because when the juices are mixing into other fruits, so then it might not be a prohibition. But if it was just the juices of the bottom of the grapes, that would be a problem. So I'll get back to that question. But let's say the following situation. This happens all the time. Okay, you're cutting grapes for your child, which you have to do. Okay, and it's a sakana if you don't do. Okay, but there's a serious problem over here, because when it comes to putting pressure on the grapes and cutting the grapes, so you a lot of times have the issue that there's juices that come out of the grapes, and what do you do with that? So first of all, one eitzah is just to be concerned about it and just to know about it ahead of time. And when you cut the grapes, just to cut it in a way that it's not automatic that juice is going to come out. Again, whenever we talk about malachas on Shabbos, just to something we mentioned last time, but it's important to reiterate because this is going to be very, very important when it comes to this malacha, is that if you're doing a malacha, if a malacha is done, but you had no kavana to do that malacha, so that's heter gomer. It's a davar sheino miskaven. Even if it's very possible that a malacha might be an outcome, if that is entirely not my kavana, so that's what's called an halacha davar sheino miskaven. Now the exception to that rule is when it's inevitable that result will come out, and that's what's called a psik resha. Afal pi deloy mechaven ka mechaven dami. If you have something which is inevitable, right? It's the psik resha. When a chicken's head is cut off, it's inevitable that the chicken will die. So that's what Chazal used that term to say, something which is automatic and it's inevitable. So if you're, even though you're not mechavin for something, if it's a davar shenem skavin with a psik resha, so then that's going to be something. That it's going to be usur, potentially even usur deraisa. So now, in this situation, so if I cut grapes in certain ways, there's certain times that it could be a psik resha. So I could violate an isser, okay, whether or not you want it or you don't want it, that might have ramifications whether or not what I did was a nisidur rice or nisidur abanon. But at the end of the day, it's going to be usr. So if psik resha, if I'm doing it and it's inevitable that there are going to be juices that come out, that's something that you want to cut in a way that it's not going to be automatic that the juices come out. Another eitza that you might want to do is to cut your grapes onto a napkin. If you cut your grapes onto a napkin, it's never going to collect. It's going to absorb directly into the napkin. So any juices are automatically going to be discarded and never even exist as juice. So therefore, that would be a suggestion that a person would make things better for cutting grapes, and that's what I would suggest in terms of cutting grapes. Otherwise, if a person's cutting up grapes and there's a lot of juices that collect, that would be a serious problem. That would be mashkin shezavu. Similarly, it would apply to olives also, but I just don't think it's as common, these shilas with olives. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a common shita in the napkin, even though it's not collecting, you may not
No, you're not squeezing the napkin. You're causing an absorption into the napkin. There's no malacha for something to absorb.
And then also, if you are squeezing the grapes and the juice comes out in terms of the muktzah, wouldn't it be like something because you had on the plate muktzah mahmad, like the grapes would be mahmad?
Saying it's a basas l'davar aser v'amuter? Okay, I'm not saying that you don't have ways around. I'm just saying you potentially have a shaila of muksa. Let's say there's no grapes anymore left in the bowl, and all you have is juice left.
So you can't pick up the bowl.
So maybe you'll have heter in certain situations. Letzarech makomo, in a situation where it's tiltum and atzad, letzarech makomo. When we learn a series on elchus muksa, we'll talk about it. I'm not saying to you that there aren't etzas and how to move it off, but fundamentally, you have an issue of muktzah over there, which is a little striking, that you had a grape over here, and now at the end of the day, when I finish eating the grapes, now I have an issue of muktzah, which I need a heter for. You know, you might have a heter to take it off, but...
There's no heter of the
chila and the... No. Not on muktzah, no. Yeah? Yeah, I think that would be the same thing as that would be halach li'ibud. That would be halach li'ibud. That's going to come up when we talk about other ramifications of dash, which is nursing. Mm-hmm. Nursing is also under the category of dash, but that's a little bit outside the kitchen. So, but Amir Tzishem will get there. But yeah, any if it's halach li'ibud, that makes things much better because you're not retaining the extraction. Yeah.
How does it apply to olives that are in a juice usually?
In a juice, what do you mean?
Okay,
right. So let's I take out the olive.
I was saying, you're saying, do it in a way that you want to do it, but every time that you touch an olive, like, there's juices pouring off.
The issue of mashkin shezavu is only on...
Well, you wouldn't even know if anything came out from where it's really coming from the olive, because...
So, you're saying it's already wet. It's a good point. So you take it out, it's already very wet.
And it's like sitting in that brine.
Right. Mm-hmm. I never thought about that.
Fresh. You can buy them.
Really? I have only found them in a
jar. Josh bought them online.
Meaning not from the jar.
Yeah, I've only bought them.
Right. No, that's the only way I've seen olives also, so I guess you're right, it's hard. It's hard, but if you cut it in a way that it's inevitable, that's usher. It would be a problem. In terms of your issue of mashkin shezavu, knowing whether or not mashkin shezavu came out, I don't know, I would say that's a safik. Me, I would try to be machmer, just safik muktzah. Okay, what about shar peiros? What about eating a grapefruit? What about eating a grapefruit that, anytime I eat a grapefruit, automatically, always some juices come out? And that should be a problem. Okay, it's derabanan. We said grapefruits are derabanan, but I'm still not allowed to squeeze a grapefruit, right? If I would take a grapefruit out of my fridge and just squeeze it into a cup, so it wouldn't be an issa deraisa. It would be an issa derabanan, but it's still usser. So now if I cut my grapefruit and I eat my grapefruit in a way that juices are automatically going to come out, so that's going to be potentially a problem. It's a psik reishan and issa derabanan. Psik reishan and issa derabanan. We paskin, there's a sheet of the Trumas Hadeshin that said that a psikration under the Rabbanon was mutter, but psikration under Rabbanon, the Magen Avraham says, is still something that we have to be machir for, it's usser. So how do we go about eating a grapefruit? A grapefruit usually will always cause a psikration that some juices will come out when you're eating it. So Rav Shlomo Zalman had a heter, he thought that, number one, it's a psikration on shar peiros, which means it's a psikration under Rabbanon. Plus, it has a second rabbanon. Why is it a second rabbanon? It's not the normal way to squeeze. Normal way to squeeze is to take the fruit and to squeeze it in your hand and to put it... This is like a kalachar yad type of squeezing. We're doing it in such an indirect way. That's the normal way to... That's not a normal way to squeeze. So Shlomo Zalman said, maybe the reason... It's unbelievable. Maybe the reason why you're allowed to eat a grapefruit on Shabbos is because of psik resha and two derabbanons. Now, that heter of Shlomo Zalman is a big question. La'alach, the Chazanish was a very, very much against this, and this is thrown out a lot, that psik resha on two derabbanans is something that's automatically mutter. One is that it's schita on shar peiros, and the other one is that it's klachar yad, it's not in the normal way. So that's usually assumed to be an issa derabbanan. So the Chazon Ish was very much not a fan of a heter of a psik resha on two derabbanans. And the Shaila was, so according to the Chazon Ish, if you would hold like the Chazon Ish, that you don't have a psik resha on two derabbanans, so why is this mutter? Plus, usually, even in a psik resha on two derabbanans, there's a situation where it's lo nichale, where a person doesn't want the psik resha. Over here, some people love drinking these juices after the grapefruit, and it's really nichale, you like the fact that it's coming out, so would that heter even start? So some poskim had a different heter, which really gets to something that we were discussing before, and it's now going to be very, very relevant. So, these are the Isurim, and these are even the post facto Isurim of Mashkin Shezavu. But what are some of the Heterim? So I remember my sister-in-law in Boca, she anytime like I tell her something that, you know, the fact, if I tell her something that she thought was Moter and Zasser, she's not excited. But anytime she asked me to give a Shir in Boca on 10 things that everyone thought was Zasser, but is really Moter. So this was one of the examples that she was very excited about that. So the Gemara says a fascinating Chiddush. The Gemara says that if you squeeze a fruit, literally squeeze a fruit, but you do it on top of food, so the Gemara says, Mashka haba le'ochel ka'ochel dami. Meaning, it's fascinating, we usually categorize food and drink as, you know, does it go into a cup, or do we eat it with a fork and knife? So the Gemara clearly doesn't assume like that. The Gemara says, Mashka haba le'ochel, drink that's coming into food is ka'ochel dami, is not viewed to be food, there's not being viewed to be drinks. And in order for you to be categorized under the malacha of dash of schita, you have to be a mashke. You're taking the mashke out of the pri and you're extracting it out of the fruit. But as long as you're doing it in a scenario where it's not going to have a shame mashke, because it's going directly into fruit, food, so then that's not going to be considered schita at all, and that's going to be perhaps totally mutter. Now, it has to be that it's enhancing the food, and it also has to be that it's like tuffel to the food. So this comes up a lot when you're, let's say, putting lemon into salad, right? You're putting lemon into a fish, onto a salmon. So if you're putting it directly onto the fish or onto those things, so you can mamish, it's unbelievable. You can be doing a malacha, and you're doing that malacha in a way that Chazal say that that's not going to be considered a mashke. Rabbi Shechter writes in his Sefer, fascinating application of this Gemara, totally outside, once again, outside of Hilchos Shabbos, but he says, you see, that just because something's liquid doesn't make it that it's automatically going to be a mashke. And therefore, Rav Shechter says that he thinks that when it comes to schnapps, that's not a mashke. That's not something, just like the Gemara says, mashke abala ochel, just because it's liquid, it's not going to be considered a drink, it's going to be considered food. He says also, when a person drinks schnapps, they don't drink it to quench someone's thirst. They don't do it, they do it for a totally different reason. And that's one of the reasons Rav Shechter said he doesn't think you can make kiddush on schnapps, because it's not a mashke. It's not considered, just because something is liquid and just because you drink it out of a kli doesn't necessarily mean that it's viewed to be considered a mashke. So fine, that's I think something he quotes from the Kazhuk Lavarov, from this Gemara, ramifications out of this Gemara. And we'll see, there's other ramifications coming out of this Gemara. So, some of the poskim suggested that even if you don't hold of the heter of psik resha by two derabbanans, but when I am eating this grapefruit, where's the juice going? It's going into the ochel. So that's the heter of eating the grapefruit. Because the grapefruit juice is not squeezed independently into a cup. It's going into the food that I'm eating. So as long as at that time when it came out, the juices, it didn't have a shame mashke, because it was mashke abala ochel, so maybe that's the heter, and it's not because of any leniencies of any psik reshes on two derabbanans. It's mutter because of the way you use it. And that's what's going to allow you to use it, because it never had a shame mashke, because it went directly into food. So we have now, perhaps based on that Gemara, a heter to use to eat grapefruits. Give me one second. And then we have this new heter that we can take different fruits and put it onto foods. Now, many Rishonim held that heter would perhaps even apply to olives and grapes. La halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says that a person should try to be machmir because there were some Rishonim, the Rabbeinu Hananel, that did not accept this heter, so therefore we should try to be machmir on this, and the Rosh's Lashon is a machmir tavol of bracha. So at least when it comes to the real McCoy, when it comes to the real category of Zeisim Anavim, that we should not spring, we should not extract that even on top of food. When it comes to other fruits, so even though the Rabbeinu Hananel was machmir, if a person wants to be machmir, it's very nice to be machmir, but I think the minhaga olam, let's say, I think primarily, you'll tell me if there are any other categories, but I think primarily legabe lemons, that's where the heter comes up. Before I take questions, lemons was a fascinating situation historically. The Beis Yosef writes that he found that people in Mitzrayim were squeezing lemons. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch writes Beferish that to squeeze lemons are mutter on Shabbos. So it's like, the Mishnah Berurah is like very shocked. Squeezing lemons are mutter on Shabbos, so why is it? So Beis Yosef gives two reasons why he thinks lemons were never usser to begin with on Shabbos. He says, first of all, lemons are juices that are always drunk with other liquids. I mean, you're never going to put lemon into just a cup, and you're going to put it into tea, into hot water, into some other drink. So therefore, there's a first leniency when it comes to lemon. And number two, said the Beis Yosef, he says that lemons are never just extracted and even sold on their own. So that's why the Beis Yosef had these two hetherim in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, why the Isurim never applied to lemon, because lemons were unique. So the Chayei Adam already pointed out, and the Mishnah Berurah says to be Machmer, one of those reasons obviously fell by the wayside, because we have all bottles of lemon juice inside our fridges, and we all buy them, and we all use it as ingredients. So obviously there's a market, and it is done that people just extract lemons out of lemon juice, so that one heter is gone by the wayside. And the other heter probably was still Kayim until 2 weeks ago in my house. So my mother was over, she was there for dinner, and she asked for some hot water, and she wanted some lemon juice inside her hot water. That's the way she drinks it. And my kids, like, my wife uses lemon juice for, like, cooking. My kids never see what lemon juice is. So Tzvi was sitting by the table, and he says, "What is that?" So she says, it's lemon juice. So he's like, "Oh, can I try it?" So I always assume no one ever drinks lemon juice, and Paul tried and he'll hate it, and he started asking for more and more and more, and he was drinking it alone. So that up until 2 weeks ago, I thought the other heter, the Beis Yosef, was still Kayim, because no one ever drinks lemon juice alone until I witnessed my son that he was asking for more and more lemon juice in a plastic cup. So I don't know, maybe he was just doing it out of shtick, but I said, wow, you just changed halacha. You know, this mamish affects the Beis Yosef's comment on Mitzrayim, and I was fascinated. But again, it's still assumed that usually lemons are only used in other drinks, like the way my mother drank it, and not like the way Tzvi drank it. So that's a heter. But because the other heter, the Beis Yosef, is not at all in effect, so therefore we try to be machmir even when it comes to lemons. So that's why the minig, even when a person drinks tea, is that they have to figure out a way to put the lemon in a way that it's not going to be schita. So this probably was some of your questions that you were going to ask before, and that's why I wanted to hold off for a second. So now, when the Gemara says mashka habala ochel ka ochel dami, there's a key word there. What's the key word? Okay, that's one key word. Let's go back one word. Mashka habala ochel ka ochel dami. Means primarily it's got to be what? It's got to be entering into the ochel. If you don't have ochel, let's say you have mashka haba lemashka, if you take lemon juice and put it into tea and squeeze it into tea, or even put the lemon into my tea and take my spoon and hold it against the cup, that would not be a heter, and that would be an Isser D'Rabbanan of Schitas Peiros. Because we, the Mishnah Berurah says, hold by lemons, we do have to be Machmer. We can't be like the Beis Yosef said in Mitzrayim. We have to be concerned of these issues. So therefore, if you're talking about salmon, if you're talking about, avocado salad, depending on the conclusions we had from last year, which we made a whole big mess in the avocado salad. But whatever it is, whatever salads you're making, you're putting lemon juice in, so then that's mashka bala ochel. But if you're putting it directly into a drink, that could potentially be a serious isser. And even if the Mishnah Berurah writes He quotes from the Sharetzi, and he says from the that even if I put it into a cup and I'm going to put it into another food eventually, that's not going to be okay, because at the time that I extracted it, it was in a cup and it was received and it was a mashka, so that would be a serious problem. So then how do you add a lemon to tea? What do you do? So this is the Eitzah of the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah has an Eitzah that he says, put it into the sugar, because that's going to be mashka bala ochol ka ochol dami. Now the Chazon Ish did not like this Eitzah of the Mishnah Berurah, because the Chazon Ish said, what kind of joke is that? You're putting the lemon into the sugar, and where's the sugar going? Sugar's going into the tea. So he says, that's not considered mashka bala ochol. Okay, so that's a machlokes the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish, but keep in mind, we're already being machmir for something that the Beis Yosef was mekel for, and one of those tamim are still kayim. So to say that the heter of the Mishnah Berurah you can't rely on, I think one could rely on the Mishnah Berurah, and if they want to be mekel and put the lemon into the sugar, they're allowed to put it, and that's considered mashka bala ochel, and that would not be considered mashka. Okay, questions? Yeah. Fine. Yeah, you're not squeezing.
Okay, also, grapefruit, like what I'm done with it, I would think the grapefruit is maybe use on to a spoon. Like, are you glad you did?
No.
I do it on the weekday.
Oh, we knew that, yeah.
So, but like, you're allowed to use a spoon.
Maybe you could demonstrate next show. Yeah.
But you're allowed to, like, with a spoon, like, just...
Yeah,
like,
that's what we were saying. That's what we were asking, so... Either because it's a psik reishon on two derabbanans, like Rav Shlomo Zalman said, even though you know it's inevitable that the Jews are going to come out, or you don't even need to rely on that. It's because it's coming into the food. So once it's coming into the food, so therefore it's going to be mutter. So anytime, yeah,
like some of it's probably going into your
food. Right,
like,
right.
Like, what
about when
in,
you eat the last piece?
Juice on my skin, right, the grapefruit,
right.
Like, I don't drink it, but I squeeze it.
Right, but you're not causing all that liquid to come out right now at that last spoon. That liquid, when it was coming out, was accumulating into food constantly. So I think that would be the heter. Yeah.
So going back to the fruit salad. Uh-huh. So you have these pyros that seeped out liquid.
And then you have.
You have grapes, let's say inside.
Uh huh. So, again, you first of all have, when the grapes came out, they were going into ochel. So that...
It's a grape.
Okay, so Rabbeinu Chanana would hold that you can't squeeze that. But to say that it's mashkin shezavu, I think now would be mutter.
And then what about the whole, like, you don't know what fruit is from the... It might not
okay, so that brings me to my next topic, and that was really the thing that was brand new, hot off the press, within the sugya of Shechita. So... I just want to make sure I get the name right. A few people asked me this question. There is a new flavored drink called... All Shuck Up.
All Shuck Up.
You know what I'm talking about?
S-H-U-K?
Yeah. You put this into a cylinder... In a pitcher. I'm trying to see if they have the pitcher here, how you do it. They don't have it here. These are like little, like, different fruits that you put into your pitcher. What do you call it? You know those, let's imagine a clear pitcher
yeah,
full of water
with
a thing in the middle. Exactly. So what's that called?
What?
Exactly. That's the new, right? It's a hot drink now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so a few people asked me this question. So number one, first of all, they asked me, can they heat it up? Can they do it with hot water? So that's going to be a problem of Bishel, right? Just cooking up these fruits would be, you know, just to do it straight up with hot water, that would be a problem.
Real fruit is not like, it's fresh fruit?
I think so.
Okay.
I don't think, maybe it's dried up? I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure what the process is.
I think it's dried.
Well, yeah, meaning if it's dry, it's dried, it depends... If it's dried, no, it would be a bishul issue. I'm not up to the shechita issue.
Oh, okay.
So let's assume either it's raw, or even if it's dried, you have to know exactly what procedure they do to now make it in bishul or bishul. You're right. If they cooked it in water, and that's how they got to the way they are, then it'll be mutter. But I highly doubt that it's going to be good if they already cooked this food. You know, so probably the fruit does not have a halachic bishul that it went through, that you now you could rely on in bishul achar bishul. So, but that's not such a big deal. You know, you could do it with, if according to our Moshe, you could do it with a kli shlishi. You know, whatever. You have ways to, as long as you get around the issue of bishul, fine. So that's one issue you have to get around. But now, the question is, it's extracting, it's mamash schita. It's extracting the flavors to now become flavored water, and now, the question is, so is that mutter or not? So, when it comes to other fruits, let's think about it. When it comes to other fruits, right, I'm not squeezing it, so what's it an issue of? Mashkin shezavu. But one second, mashkin shezavu is only mutter, first of all, is not going to be mutter by what? By grapes. So anytime you have a flavor by grapes and olives, I don't know, olives would probably be horrible waters, so don't try that. But when you have grapes in terms of that mix, if you go for grape water, so that would be a problem. But also I think it would be a problem even when it comes to other fruits. Why? Because these fruits were not fruits that were brought in to be a fruit salad. They were not brought in to be kedei la'achila, to kedei la'achol. These fruits were brought in for what? For this purpose, in order to be extracted, in order to drink. So if that's what their whole purpose is, one could argue that it should be an issue of mashkin shezavu. But I think it's going to be mutter. Why is it going to be mutter? For the reason Ophir was mentioning. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if I make wine and I have grapes in the wine and those grapes pop on Shabbos and go into the wine, so Shulchan Aruch says that it's batel. So Shulchan Aruch says once it's batel in the Shar Mashkim, so the Shulchan Aruch says that would be mutter. So you have that over here as well. You have over here a situation where it's going to go into automatically, again, not by me pressuring it, not by me squeezing it, but it's going to go into other mashkim. So here you have a situation where potentially it will just seep into there, and it will be bottle in the water. Even though over here you would be able to taste the other flavor, and usually we don't rely on bittel barov when it comes on something that you could taste, and it's nikar atam. Like if somebody has something that fell in that was non kosher into their mixture. And they say to me, yeah, there was shishim there and it's totally fine, but you totally can taste the item in there, so there's no way I could say that it's mutter if it's recognizable. Over here, there's rayas, I think, that the Mishnah Berurah would even be makel, even in a situation where it's no same time. So therefore, perhaps over here, these infused drinks could be mutter and would not be an issue of schitas peiros at all. So we covered pretty much most of the issues with schitas peiros, with mashkin shezavu, situations of bidyeved. What we didn't touch in the kitchen, which we have to really get to, is ices, crushing things that's really outside of the world of fruits, but is very important la'alacha and might even have ramifications in terms of heating up certain things that you create juices in those and melting things that you create that in that situation. That's going to be probably the next year that we're going to give. We have to still talk about nursing issues, and then this year that I'm definitely not looking forward to is under dush is baby wipes. But we'll talk about it and Mirtz Hashem will get there. You want to tell everyone not to come to that year.